Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
And happy Wednesday morning to you. And I say that a little bit making fun of myself because I actually texted someone earlier today and said, someone who comes on Thursdays, and I said, hey, you ready? And he's like, I guess I could move it up a day. And I'm like, oh, I screwed up. Kind of a weird deal. Anyway, I'm Andy Griffin. Welcome to the program. I have a special guest today. Suzanne Leonelli is with me. Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great.
You're looking very Valentine-y with
a sweater
with pink hearts on it. Yeah.
I'm ready.
Mello is here, too. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
Thanks for hanging out with us on a Wednesday. It's not usual for you to be here. Well, it's starting to be usual, I guess, but appreciate you coming. I thought we could use a woman's insight as I talk to Suzanne a little bit today. Now, Suzanne has been for a while, she is the CEO of Root for Kids. And everybody's like, wait, what is that? We'll get into that as we progress here in the program. But Suzanne, I'd love to find out more about you first. Where did you grow up and how long have you been in Southern Utah?
Oh, wow, that's a long story. So I actually grew up in Kansas.
Okay,
a very small town. Yeah, right. It's called Tescott.
So the only time I've been to Kansas was junior college World National Basketball in Hutchinson and Salina.
Okay, so I was born in Salina, Kansas.
Okay, there we go. Good barbecue there.
Great barbecue. Yeah. And Tescott is about 30 miles northwest of Salina.
Pretty close,
so
okay.
So Salina was the big city. That was where we all went to hang out. Yeah.
And believe me, folks, Salina is not a big city.
No, it's not. But Tescott is only 200 people.
Oh, wow.
So Salina is a big city.
When I was a little kid, we lived in Missouri, and we actually didn't live in a town. We lived out on a farm. The closest town was a place called Pickering, Missouri, population 150.
Okay.
So
yeah.
I know where you're coming from, girl. Yeah. Okay, so we're in Kansas. You went to high school there?
I went to high school, yeah. We had a small school. It was K through 12, believe it or not.
How big was your graduating class?
We had 15 kids.
15, wow.
And two babies. And two babies. Two other girls in our class had babies.
Oh, my gosh.
We always say 15 kids and two babies.
Yeah. 17 kids, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And most of us, I mean, ironically, most of us went to school from kindergarten all the way through graduation.
In the same school.
Yeah. Out of 15, I think it was 11 of us went to school from kindergarten through our senior year.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty cool, though.
So when you were in high school, and I know it's weird with a K through 12 school, but did you play sports? Were you a cheerleader? Did you do all of them because they needed?
You have to. Yeah. So I played volleyball, basketball, track. I was a cheerleader. I was in band. I was in music. I was a baton twirler. I did forensics. Yeah. So you have to do it all or you don't have it. So.
With a class of, 15.
You
kind of have to do it all, don't you?
We sure do.
How many of more guys of the 15?
We were about 50-50, I think.
Okay, so
that was a long time ago. Yeah, but we were small.
That was like just 10 years ago, wasn't it?
Exactly.
Oh, man. So graduated from high school in a small town in Kansas. That's a long way in both figuratively and literally from St. George, Utah. What happened in the interim?
Oh, my gosh. So what happened? I went to college at Fort Hays State University.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's a small university as well. And then I moved to Roswell, New Mexico.
Really?
Okay, yeah, which
aliens.
Was a big, first time ever leaving the state for me.
Home of, by the way, New Mexico Military Institute.
Absolutely,
Back when Dixie was a junior college, they were in their league. They used to play in every year.
Well, my ex-husband actually took a job at New Mexico Military Institute, and that's what took us to New Mexico. Home of the aliens, right?
I do have one story about New Mexico Military Institute. Years ago, I did a game there. Mike McGarry usually did play-by-play, and I did color, but he couldn't go on this trip, so we rode the bus down to Roswell and got to New Mexico Military Institute and got to set up. There was a radio guy in their press box. They're like, oh, we don't have room for you. I was like, what do you mean you don't have room for me? And they're like, yeah, our press box is full. And, you know, their press box is really small. Mm-hmm. So they said, but what we can do is set you up on the balcony of a dorm room that you could actually see the field from the dorm room up from the second floor of the dorm, maybe third floor anyway. Yeah. And he said, well, what we'll do is we'll hook you into their phone line so that you can make the call and do the game. And anyway, long story short, my call dropped partway through the game.
Oh, no.
And you can't just call out from a dorm room. You have to have a code to get out because right. they're trying to keep the kids from running right. up the long distance bill. This was a few years ago. But while the game was going on, I had to try to find the athletic director and get the code and get the thing hooked up. And, yeah, I did the whole game. But Dixie faked a field goal at the end of the game and threw a touchdown pass and won it. So. And then
that's
on the way
impressive
back,
that you remember that.
Yeah, on the way back, impressive. We hit a snowstorm, and the bus slid off the road.
Oh, wow.
What a trip that was, yeah. So that's my Roswell
story. Stranger things have happened reportedly.
Alien things, apparently. Did you happen to see any aliens while you were
no.
down there?
No. No, okay. Well, not that I know of.
Oh, that's right. It could have been the Men in Black, and they had the thing
on it. I didn't even want to ask. You know, some things are better left unsaid.
So what was in Roswell? Why did you go there?
Well, I moved because my ex-husband, he got a job there, and then... And I became the director of a community mental health agency.
Oh.
So I worked there for 13 years. And then we were only going to stay 1 year. That was the deal, 1 year, 13 years later.
Funny how that happened.
Right? He was born and raised in Tooele, Utah.
Okay.
And had...
So now we're at least getting related
city,
to Utah.
Bigger city, right?
Yeah,
bigger city.
Yeah.
So he had the desire to come back home. It's really strong Italian family, big... you know, very close to his family. And we moved to Utah, and I lived up north for 14 years.
Okay.
And then I took this job at Root for Kids 13 or 10 years ago and moved down for this job.
Okay. At this point, you were not married?
I was divorced at that time.
Okay.
I've been divorced for 14 years now. Yeah.
So did you find being in Utah, as far as religion, like you're not LDS?
I'm not LDS. Yeah.
Well, did you find it weird and hard to fit in for a while?
I really did. For a while, I did.
Okay.
But, you know, you learn and you navigate your way and, you just acclimate.
Yeah.
But it was hard at first, honestly.
Sure,
it was hard
sure.
at first, but people have been really receptive and, yeah.
Cool. And by the way, I met Suzanne as a member of the Sunshiners, which is kind of the service arm of the Chamber of Commerce. We went to a few Christmas parties and summer barbecues together.
Best barbecue ever.
Yeah, I did. I did have some brisket, and that was fun. And
yeah.
But do you remember me talking about my shirt at the thing? Because I had a shirt that looked like it had the Metallica logo and name, but it actually, they slipped an A in there, so it said Meat. Metallica.
I don't remember
that. And I told everybody, read my shirt, and they all said Metallica. I said, look closer.
I was Metallica. Too busy eating the food that you cooked.
I appreciate that. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've been down here for how long? 13 years now?
10 years.
10 years.
10
okay.
years. Yeah. Just over 10 years. Yeah. It's flown by. It's crazy.
Well, let's talk now about Root for Kids and what it is. And by the way, Mello, if you want to chime in, I've got your mic on. You can talk anytime you want.
Okay, you got it.
tell us about Root for Kids. What is it and why does it matter?
Okay. Root for Kids is a nonprofit. We've been around since 1993, so we're going 32 years, which is crazy to think.
And, okay. Did it have another name?
Yeah, we used to be the Learning Center for Families.
Okay.
And about... Nine years ago, we rebranded for various reasons. But it continues to amaze me how we've been around for 32 years and still people haven't heard of the organization. And it's one of those well-kept secrets that if you don't use the organization, you don't really know what it is. And we are a child development organization. We work with parents and families really to ensure the children have a strong start in life. So most of what we do is in the home, all around attachment and bonding, brain development, stimulation. Many of our kiddos have developmental delays or disabilities.
Okay.
So we have a team of therapists like speech therapists, occupational therapists, physical therapists that go into the home and really work with the child and the parent to make sure that kiddo has a strong start in life.
So you go to everybody does this with their kids when they're little. You go to the doctor, and the doctor maybe will say something like, well, your kid's not developing as quickly as perhaps they should. Is that when I start, maybe I need to look into how to fix that?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the pieces that we do. But we also do the preventative side that before a child's been diagnosed, we want to get in and help the family really bond and be supportive so that the child can be successful.
Okay.
What I think most people don't realize is the first 3 years of a child's life is the most critical time in that child's life ever. The brain is working so hard. It's making all those connections.
I think I saw a number. 90% of brain development happens in the first 3 years.
Yeah. And so I think it's hard for people to understand the investment because they're like, well, we have the rest of the child's life to raise them. Yeah. Well, we don't. We have 3 years. And once those windows of opportunities have closed, it's really hard to open those back up. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really, really critical time in a child's life.
So if I were to simplify, if I said, well, it sounds like it's just a preschool, but it's not really a preschool or just a preschool anyway.
No, and I think it's important that you said that because to me, when people say preschool, it's like they assume that learning starts in preschool. Learning starts at birth.
Right.
And if families don't have those opportunities or those skills, again, we've missed that opportunity. And I always kind of put it into my framework of my life of what I know as a parent. I was 31 when I had my first baby.
Okay.
I had a master's degree, educated, worked at a nonprofit, mental health, was married, had a great relationship. Financially, we were in a good place. And I bring home this new little teeny tiny baby, 7 pounds. And mm-hmm. I'm like, what the heck do I do with her?
There's no owner's manual.
No. And I read everything, Andy. I studied everything. And I bring her home and I'm like, I really don't know what to do. And I was really overwhelmed. And then I think about, okay, here's me with all these wonderful resources and I don't know what to do. Imagine being 16 years mm-hmm. homeless on the streets with a baby or 25 with a medically fragile baby, not knowing how to support that baby. And that's the beauty of what we do. We come in and we support parents on doing what they know is best. Every parent wants to be the best parent possible.
Yeah.
And we're just there to encourage and support and connect them with resources and be the cheerleaders in their life.
I remember when we had our first child and I would have been 25 maybe and my wife was 22. And it's funny because they used to keep you in the hospital. When you had a baby, you were in the hospital for a week or whatever. The next morning, they're like, see ya. Yeah. So I go out around and get the car, and my wife, they wheel her down in a wheelchair holding the baby. And we get to the door open, and I have a car seat for like a three-year-old. I didn't know. I mean, honestly, I never had any kids before.
Right.
So I have this car seat that the baby's supposed to sit up in, and I'm like, and the nurse is like, you're going to put your kid in that? I'm like, am I not supposed to? I don't know. And she goes, well, they have infant car seats. That's really what you're supposed to. And I'm like, oh. And so we actually literally put the baby in the toddler car seat and drove straight to the store. And I went in, even though we didn't have any money, I went in and bought an infant car seat because I didn't know.
You don't know what you don't know. Yeah. And have you tried to give a newborn baby a bath?
Oh, yeah.
They're like little noodles, right?
Oh, my gosh.
It's like nobody taught us how to do those kinds of things. And yeah, it's just those simple things that we take for granted that we assume everybody knows.
Yeah. I remember getting our son home. And, you know, we stare at him for a few minutes because new baby, you know, wow, this is amazing. And then we're kind of like, well, now what?
You know? I know.
It's like, what are we supposed to do next? What's the next problem? Is someone going to come and train us or teach us? And what, you know, and of course, Dr. Spock or whatever, trying to learn things, but we didn't. We had no idea.
I know. When we were in the hospital, I just had Madison and she was so perfect. She didn't cry. I nursed her and she latched on immediately and it was like, she's like this perfect little baby, right? We get her home, we walk through the door and she just starts crying and crying and crying. And it's like, the first thing you think is, oh my gosh, she doesn't like me.
She doesn't
like her mom.
Yeah, your feelings hurt.
And you
don't know what to do. And you don't know why.
Why is she crying? What does she want? What does she need? How can I help her as a parent? And again, that's how we support our families, really coaching them on listening to the tune. You know, what is the baby telling you that they need and how to support them?
So the things that pop up, and Melody, did you have a question first?
No, okay.
That things that pop up in my head is, number one, does this cost me a lot of money? And number two, how do I find out more
about
you guys?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I would say 95% of our programs are free.
Oh, really?
They don't cost anything for our families. We do have a program called Early Intervention that we do a sliding scale. But most of the families, it's unique in the sense that, well, let me backtrack. Most of the families that we serve are low-income families.
Okay.
But when it comes to developmental delays and disability, it doesn't discriminate economically. So we can serve a family who was homeless all the way to serving families who live in multi-million dollar homes because, you know, again, developmental delays, they don't,
it doesn't matter
how much you make. So programs like that, there's a sliding scale, but for most families, even if they come from very wealthy families, it's, you know, maybe $40, $50 a month. But everything else that we provide is free of charge for our families.
Okay. I do have a question.
Yeah.
So I, when I was a young mom, I had kids. I had four kids by the time I was 24.
Ooh.
So I started at 18 and then I had my fourth one when I was 24. And I got involved in my community with a place called Head Start. And they got my boys, both of my boys needed speech therapy. So then the speech therapy was integrated into that. But if I hadn't had Head Start, I wouldn't have known that they even needed speech therapy. So how do you understand before, like, you go into the preschool setting that you might have those delays that you need the help with to even reach out?
It's a great question. You know, we rely a lot on our friends, our pediatricians. Mm-hmm. When children, babies go in for their well child checks, a lot of times pediatricians can know, you know, whether or not the child's developing appropriately. We also do a lot of education and awareness. But, you know, unfortunately, there's a big burden put on parents to kind of really understand and know where their child is, where they are developmentally. But again, if it's your first child, you have nothing to compare them
know.
To.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we just try to do a lot of education, a lot of awareness. We do what we call child finds, where we go out into the communities and we can do developmental screenings, hearing screenings, vision screenings early on. So hopefully we're catching those kiddos. Because again, if we wait to get them in when they're in Head Start, mm-hmm. you know, they're 3-4 years old. We've missed an incredible, incredible opportunity.
Missed the window. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We want to get them before they're
absolutely.
Five or four.
Absolutely. Yeah. When those connections are being made. Yeah.
So you mentioned maybe the pediatricians are one of your kind of referral sources. How else would I mean, say I have a grandchild maybe who, man, they're 3 and they're not talking. They're 2.5 and they, I have a, by the way, you guys, it, by the way, the website rootforkids.org has some really great resources and I'm looking at some of them. One of them was the, I like the developmental tree here. I don't know if you put that together.
Yes, that's beautiful.
Kind of gives you some ideas of where your child should be at 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year, year and a half, et cetera.
And these are just baselines.
Right,
and we don't
right.
ever want anybody to base their child based on that or judge their child based on that in a negative way.
But it does give you an idea.
Absolutely. And the sooner we can fix it, the more successful that child's going to be in life.
So if I were to look at that chart and maybe talk to my pediatrician, and how do I know? When do I know, okay, it's time I maybe should call somebody?
Well, you know, I think our gut tells us a lot. Our intuition tells us a lot. And the reality is you don't have to know. You don't have to know. Just anybody can refer their child at any time. Mm. We will go in and do the developmental screenings and help determine whether or not that child's eligible. So as a parent, you know, it's just like taking them to a well child check. You just want an assessment done. If you feel anything's doesn't look right, sound right, feel right, just send them our way and we'll do a complete assessment free of charge.
Now, I want to ask you about a topic that a lot of people have experienced recently. And I actually have a grandchild who is autistic. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how the, you know, autism is kind of a catch-all thing for kids who aren't developing, it seems like to me.
Yeah.
How has that factored into what you do in Root for Kids, the autism diagnosis, and just the whole, what seemed like is a trend of a lot of autism recently?
Yeah, you know, fortunately, we work with our pediatricians and a geneticist who can kind of help us diagnose, because we can't we don't diagnose as far as that goes. But I think it is kind of one of those things that some people are quick to diagnose.
Yeah.
And I think
I hate that, by the way.
I do too. And I think that's why parents are ambivalent to bring their children to us, because one, they don't want the diagnosis,
don't
and two,
know.
They don't want the reflection that this is a reflection of them as a parent. And it's not. It's not.
Right.
You know, we can't determine how our children come out and how they're programmed and, you know, their DNA and all that kind of stuff. But we're just there to support and help and encourage. But again, we're not ones to diagnose.
Okay. I kind of feel like you do as far as autism. I feel like somebody's they're always looking to put a label. This is why children isn't doing this as fast as some of the other children.
Yeah. And sometimes it's just behavioral. It's just behavioral, and sometimes it's just children aren't developing as fast as their peers, and that's okay. That's okay.
I hear that diagnosis all the time, mildly autistic. Like, does that even mean anything, really? Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
So I do have an experience with that. My daughter, my sixth child, I had her in daycare because I have seven kids. So I had her in daycare because I was going to school, and she was having a really hard time with the separation because I was still nursing her. So she was having a hard time. And so they recommended that we get her assessed for autism. So we did the whole assessment. They came over to our house and tested her and did all of those developmental tests. And they said, in the end, it just turns out that she wants to drive the bus. Like, she wants to be in charge of everything. But now fast forward, now she's 15. And she feels like she is autistic, and she wants to get screened for it because she's having issues, like she needs headphones on all the time. Like, she has some of those like little quirks.
Little sensory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we got her evaluated, and she is autistic. She's level one, so she's like the very lowest. But she wanted that assessment so she could have accommodations in school if she wanted them. So it's just kind of like full circle. Like, no, she's not, but is she kind of on the spectrum? Probably everybody's a little on the spectrum.
I kind of agree with you. We all have some oddities to us, and mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, good for her though. Good mm-hmm. for her recognizing that and wanting to get the support and help that she needs to be successful in her life. Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah.
We are talking today with Suzanne Leonelli. And by the way, so is that your maiden name? Is that your original name, Leonelli, or was that your husband?
That's my husband.
Because you mentioned him being Italian. I'm like, Leonelli.
No, he had a cool name. My maiden name is Reed.
Oh, that's cool. I like Reed.
No, it's not compared to Leonelli.
Leonelli.
Reed. That sounds way
sexier.
You sound
like a movie star.
Yeah, Leonelli's a movie star.
Yeah, I like Leonelli, so I did keep that.
I feel embarrassed. You're engaged, right?
I am engaged.
What's your fiance's last name? Are you going to change your name?
Wilhelm, yes.
Okay, all
right. Wilhelm.
San Will. Ooh, you sound rich.
That sounds fancy.
Wilhelm.
Fine, Will. From movie
Coming
star to fancy.
Coming to my mansion. We're talking with Suzanne, soon to be Wilhelm. By the way, congratulations on the engagement.
Thank you.
I'm lucky enough to know your fiance. We play pickleball together.
Yeah.
Several times.
Thanks for being nice to me when you play pickleball with me.
Suzanne is actually not bad. She's given herself a hard time. You're not a bad player.
Whatever.
Not as practice seasoned as some of us who play more often.
Yes.
You do all right.
But I'm working on it. I'm going to get there.
You had a deal with your fiance, right?
Yes.
Golf versus pickleball. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So I am an avid golfer. I
love
it.
Golf. Okay.
Again, I'm not very good at it. I call myself a dabbler. And he's a pickleball player, not a golfer. So we have this deal that I will learn to play pickleball and he will learn to play golf.
And how is that going?
Well, we play a lot of pickleball. No, the cutest story, I have to tell you the cutest story. So, I participate in the Huntsman World Senior Games. And this year I told him, I said, you need to do the Senior Games with me. And so we signed him up for the longest drive competition.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And this is a guy who doesn't golf.
I was going to say, some of these, in that age group,
some of
these guys are hardcore.
Oh, they are hardcore. Yeah. And so you only get three opportunities. You don't get to warm up, but you have three opportunities to hit the ball the furthest you can hit it.
And I guarantee all the other dudes were at a driving range getting ready.
Right, right.
Before that.
And so he gets up there and he swings so hard. And the guy said, dude, don't try to kill it. Just hit it. And he's like, no, that's exactly what I'm trying to do. I just want to kill it. Well, he ended up getting a bronze medal.
Really?
For never golfing.
Wow,
yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
But he did. He hit the snot out of that ball. So he's pretty proud of that medal that he got.
I figure that must have been over 300 yards his drive, right? Maybe closer to four if he won
a medal. No, it was actually 282, I think.
That's pretty good.
Because they do it by your age grade.
Okay.
Age group. So, but that's still pretty impressive for not ever.
We won't say John's age over the
year.
No, we
that's
won't.
Not
very
we
nice.
Don't need to do that.
And by the way, Suzanne looks like she's like 30. So,
oh yeah.
Yeah, you look.
You
really
guys
good.
Didn't see the money I slipped Andy under the table. Compliments can be bought.
All right, we've got to get a commercial break in, check weather. Suzanne Leonelli from Root for Kids is here. And by the way, Suzanne is about to start a new stage of life, too. We're not talking about the engagement. We're talking about professionally. We'll talk about that when we come back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Hey, welcome back to the show, 937 on KDXU. I'm here with Suzanne Leonelli, soon to be another last name, but Suzanne is about to retire from Root for Kids.
She is!
Holy
Yay.
Smokes.
I know, It's bittersweet.
That's weird to think about. People ask me about retirement, and I'm like, I love my job, and I know you love yours too, but at a certain point, I guess you got to move on. And for me, I'm probably three, 4 years away. But,
yeah. Well, you know what? I love this guy more. And I just want to spend time with him.
When you're a CEO,
you're
Is John listening?
Cause I don't think he is.
You just got brownie
you
points.
You tell him I said that.
Okay, I will. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I think you're like my wife in that you could retire, but that doesn't mean you're not going to do anything. You're going to keep busy. Tell us about your Rotary position.
Yeah, so I have been in Rotary for, let me think, how many years have I been in Rotary? 8 years.
Okay.
And it was really because of Root for Kids that I got into Rotary.
Right.
I was asked to come and do a presentation at their meeting or the club, and I just fell in love with the people. And I think it was a month later I joined Rotary, and I absolutely love it. It's a huge, huge part of my life.
Rotary Club is, how would you describe it? It's a service club that...
It's a membership club service. Yeah. So it's about networking. It's business minded, but really we do a lot of service around the world, really helping, you know, to change the way people grow up and live in the world.
If people have heard about, a group of locals going to Guatemala, I think it is
the stove
to build
project.
Stoves.
Yeah.
That's the Rotary Club,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. That is the Rotary Club.
And they do it. They use their own dime. They pay for it themselves.
Absolutely.
And that's
Absolutely.
Pretty cool. And actually, I think the Rotary Club I'm a member of is actually selling boxes of oranges.
Yeah, they do that. I think it's for the Children's Justice Center, right?
Yeah,
they do that.
Yeah. So cool.
Yeah, we do a lot of good things. A lot of good things.
So how many kids did you have, Suzanne?
I have two. I have two girls. My baby just turned 20.
Hmm. Nice. My baby just turned 21. So,
really?
Yeah, we're in the same boat.
I'm like, I don't have a teenager anymore.
I know.
That's so lucky for you. I'm so jealous.
Does this baby still live at home? Or?
She lives in St. George. She actually lives on campus. She attends Utah Tech University.
Nice.
Yeah.
We've been empty nesters for about a little over a year now, and it's a weird
hard.
Thing.
It is strange. Hard. Yeah. But I get to babysit her dog, so I'm not technically an empty nester yet.
How old is your other child?
She's 24. She lives in Oregon. She just moved to Oregon about 3 months ago.
All right. Now, with Rotary, I don't know if you can say anything yet. You're going to be like...
Yeah, the district governor.
District governor.
District governor for Utah.
That sounds...
Rotary.
And it pays really well. Nothing.
It pays very well. Yeah. your sanity costs you.
What will that entail? It sounds like, I mean, if you're the district governor, it sounds like meetings and a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So in Utah, there's 44 different Rotary clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And
two in St. George, right?
We actually have...
Three? Four?
Two in St. George, one in Washington, and one in Hurricane.
Okay, so four in the county.
Four in the county. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And we have about 1,700 members statewide. So my job is really just to be the cheerleader, to support those clubs, help them be successful, provide training if they need it, but really just helping them be them and do what they do best.
Go back to your roots of being a cheerleader.
Go back to my roots of being a cheerleader. Rah, rah.
And then pickleball, you're planning on developing your game a little?
I do. I've really enjoyed. What I love about it is it's free. You know, I love golf too, but it's an expensive sport.
And time consuming. That too, yeah.
Yeah, and John has the best way. John, my fiance, he has the best way of describing pickleball. He says it's like going to recess. You're in school and you go to recess and you go and you run and you play and you hang out with all your friends and you don't realize that you're actually getting exercise doing it because it's so fun.
It's true.
He just calls it recess.
I got to ask you a question about John and about guys in general. So I've decided, I figured out, there are many ways, obviously, men and women are different. But one of the ways is when guys compete in a sport like pickleball, to guys, it's fun if you win. To women, it's fun just to play. Is John a, it's fun if I win, if I lose, I'm not having as much fun kind of a guy?
No, that's good. And not all women just want to play to have fun. Some of us are very.
Yeah, I was generalizing. But
yeah, I'm the type that plays to win.
I can tell you this: we will go play. My wife and I, and she is really good.
Your wife is a good player.
We'll play for an hour and a half, and at the end, I'll be all upset. She's like, "What's the matter?" I said, "Oh, I lost like 4 out of 8 games, and I'm just." And she's like, "I'm like, how did you do?" And she's like, "I don't know."
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean you don't know?
Yeah.
Just play for an hour and a half. You don't know how many games you want? She doesn't know or care.
She doesn't care.
She just wants to play.
Our thing is all about getting to the King's Court. You know the King's Court. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's kind of the bragging rights if you can get to the King's Court.
And then after the King's Court, if you don't win, the Walk of Shame.
Which I've done many times. All the way down to the bottom court. Actually, I haven't done it too many times because I've never made it to the King's Court. So, actually, maybe twice I've made it to the King's Court.
Yeah, the thing about pickleball that people, so this King Court, basically if you win, you split up with whoever you won with and go to the next court up. If you lose, you stay on the same court, which my wife says she actually likes to lose because then she gets to stay on the same court and she doesn't have to ever do the Walk of Shame because she can just stay.
Very good point.
I think somewhere inside though, she's like, she wants to win.
She wants. I love how you guys do it where you're playing with somebody different every game.
Yeah, every game.
Every game. Because I think poor John, if he got stuck with me every game, we probably would not be engaged.
Yeah, it can create some friction.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, let's rewind back to Root for Kids a little bit. Okay. You're retiring after 10 years.
Almost 10 years,
CEO.
Yeah.
CEO. What will change at Root for Kids without you there? I mean, hopefully nothing, right? You're going to hand it off.
I feel like I'm leaving it in good hands.
Okay.
We are looking for an executive director right now, CEO. Okay. The position has been posted. We have a search committee who will be doing the interviewing. So if anybody's interested, please submit your application and resume. But I'm hoping that they'll just take it to the next level.
And this job they're looking for, is it someone with like you have a psychology background and that kind of stuff, or is this more of a management job?
It's kind of both. Okay. You know, depending on the vision of where the board wants to take it, but it really is, even though it's a for-profit, we're a business. So it needs to be somebody who's business-minded, but definitely an interest and understanding in child development and family development. There's a lot of grant writing. We have a lot of federal funding. So having to understand all the performance.
Yes.
Somebody who can network in the community,
fundraising,
all of those things. It's a pretty comprehensive, multi-focused position, really.
Pretty cool organization. It's called Root for Kids. Go to their website, rootforkids.org. There's some great links in there, who they are, kind of the history of Root for Kids, which used to be the Learning Center. And what they do and what they're all about. And, you know, I think when I read that, where you were said 90% of the brain development happens in the first 3 years, I was like, you know, that's, we always get, the kids have, when they're teenagers, they're on the phone too much or whatever. But when you think about it that way, the first 3 years are so important.
So critical.
I mean, it's a game changer right there.
Yeah. It's really a hard conversation to get people to understand at the state, federal level for funding. You know, as most nonprofits, we're way underfunded and we're only serving like such a small percentage of the kiddos that need us. But, you know, just getting people to understand the importance of the work that we do, because how do you measure prevention? The absence of something that you prevented, it's hard to measure that.
And the only time you get recognized is if you don't.
Right. And people are quick to fund crisis.
Yeah.
Like treatment, we'll put money into treatment.
Sure.
But it's like, you know, we can prevent this. They say for every dollar that you invest in prevention, it's like $11 to $15 return on your investment.
Wow.
I would be happy if my stocks paid that, right?
The medical industry could learn a lot about this.
Right.
If they keep us from getting cancer instead of treating it.
Yes, yeah. yes. And It's a tough conversation to have with people.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're not there, but maybe
we're a long ways from being there. We've also come a long ways, too. I don't want to discredit how far we've come.
It's true. Now, if we can get the FDA to quit putting cancer-causing dyes in our food and microplastics in our water. And,
that's a whole nother show.
Yes, it is. Sorry, I got a little political for a minute, Suzanne. Let's get one more break in more with Suzanne Leonelli, and we'll talk about the future of Root for Kids. And again, maybe go over, if you're just tuning in, what Root for Kids is and what it does and how important I think it is in our community. So
we'll
be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy Griffin. Suzanne Leonelli is with me on the show today. And by the way, Suzanne, I was going to joke about this. So I think a lot of people probably call you Susan, right? Does that happen a lot?
More than I prefer.
Yeah. We all have it. I have a story about names, though. When I was in, I think it was third grade, we had a substitute teacher come in. And you know how, if they don't write cursive much anymore, but if you write cursive, the name Andy, if you don't close it, it kind of looks like a C and an I. So this student, a substitute teacher is going through the roll and gets to my name and goes, Cindy Griffin. Is Cindy Griffin here? Now, in third grade, you can imagine how much fun the kids had with that.
That's like a boy named Sue.
Yeah, I got called Cindy for the next few months. So, I mean, I'm over it now. I'm not over it because I'm still talking about it, apparently.
I was going to say, are you?
Yeah, so it could be worse, I guess, is what I'm saying. So just don't call me Cindy, please. I wouldn't like that.
I wonder if the Brady Bunch was still around and they knew that.
Oh, yeah. It was very popular back then. Actually, that might have even been before the Brady Bunch. I don't know. But
that's funny.
Suzanne is here, and I think I probably may have even called you Susan once or twice, too. In fact, I had to clarify. I asked John. I said, it's Suzanne, right? Because it's spelled like Suzanne.
Yeah.
But if you just hear it and don't see it written down, you go, oh, Suzanne, Susan, which one is it?
I don't get the complication. There's a Z in it.
Yeah, right. S-U-Z-A-N-N-E, right?
Very good.
Suzanne. It doesn't even look like Susan.
It's not Suzanne. Susan.
Let's talk about Root for Kids and what's going to happen now with Root. First of all, maybe just for people that are just tuning in, what is Root for Kids? Will you explain that in a nutshell for us?
Yeah, we're a child development organization that works with parents and families to ensure that their children have a strong start in life.
Okay, and we're not talking about, you know, fifth graders or even third grade. We're talking early.
Early, birth to five.
Okay.
Yeah, and the sooner the better.
And how do people get involved with Root for Kids? Say I have a kid, a grandchild that I'm worried about. What do I do?
It's so easy. You just pick up the pick up the phone and call us, and we can schedule a time to do an assessment to determine eligibility for your kiddo.
So you actually have an assessment. You'll actually come to me, or do I bring my kid?
No, we make it so easy on our families. We try to remove every barrier possible. And so they make the phone call. We go to them. We go to the homes. We take the testing with us. And
it's so easy.
It's so easy.
Yeah.
And so important. Important.
Is there an age you recommend that if you have concerns that you get the child assessed?
Again, the sooner the better. The sooner the better.
So even like a baby, like a 9-month old?
Definitely. Or? We have lots of little babies in our program. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Root for Kids has been around for a long time, right? 30 years or something?
32 years. 1993. Yeah. Nice. Started out of the trunk of a car. Car. Yeah. And now we're in Washington County, Iron County, San Juan County. We serve the Arizona Strip. So from the trunk of a car to about 800 families a month that come through
800.
Our organization. 800 families.
That is amazing.
And we have waiting lists, which is really disturbing.
It's kind of sad, yeah.
It's very sad.
I need help. Sorry, don't have room yet.
Especially with our early Head Start program, because they age out at 3, and sometimes kiddos age out before we can even get them into the program. And it's devastating. It just breaks my heart that we can't serve everybody who needs us.
Yeah. RootForKids.org is the website. Tell us about your physical location, because you guys, not that long ago, got a new place.
No. Well,
newish place, right?
Newish. Well, it's the only place I've known.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. So they moved in. I think I've been there about 12 years ago.
Okay.
Brand new facility, and it was really sad because the minute the walls were up, we had already outgrown the building.
Oh wow! So where is it?
Yeah, we're at 2044 South Mesa Palms Drive.
Which is where?
That's our flagship, right over the hill from Tonequin Park, the All Abilities Park.
All right.
Yeah, Southgate Golf Course.
We got to go there. This is the first time I think maybe we met or whatever. We actually, they had like the Vanderhall guy, and we had like some kind of ride, whatever, from Root for Kids, and we rode our, and I was in the Vanderhall. That's a three-wheeled vehicle.
Most of
the
other people had
it's a three-wheeled vehicle, and most of the guys had
tricycle.
Most of the guys had motorcycles, and we had a fun little ride there from Root for Kids. So I think we gave
was
a
it a
listener.
Poker run?
Yeah, poker run. Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. It was a while. It was probably 5 years ago.
Yeah, it's been a few years. So. Definitely. But,
I'm glad that we could support, and hopefully, like you said, the troubling thing is there's a waiting list at this point, and if we can, is it going to expand, do you think?
I hope so. You know, it's funded by it's federal funding, and it all depends on the political climate, and there's so many unknowns right now, but the need for growth is definitely there. But again, I trust the vision of the board of directors, and whoever they hire for the CEO, it's kind of time for me to step back and let them take the reins and whatever their vision is.
Do you get any say on the next person? They're going to say, Suzanne, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, the board has been really great. And they are looking to me for some guidance. But, yeah, it's kind of their decision, though.
I remember when I took this job 6 years ago, Mike McGarry and I, we had been doing sports together for 20 years, and I was grateful that he was able to, you know, kind of, I think this guy do a good job at that, and they actually called me, and the whole thing worked out just right, so.
Yeah, and it's real important. We have about 85 employees, so, you know, it's important that the employees kind of get a say in that as well. I think that when I was hired, I actually had to interview with all the employees, had to come and present and give them the opportunity to question and answer. And I just think it gives them some ownership in that decision as well. So,
are there other Root for Kids organizations anywhere else in the world?
Yeah, they're not called Root for Kids, but yeah, there's definitely other nonprofits who do the same things that we do across the world.
But this is pretty unique. For having Root for Kids is kind of cool and unique.
It is really unique in the sense that we do such comprehensive services. You know, we're not just a Head Start or an Early Head Start program, or we're not just an Early Head Start, but it's a multitude of programs that we do collectively. So the continuity of care really makes it a lot easier for us because we can refer to program instead of doing external referrals where kids tend to get lost and they kind of fall through the cracks that way. But yeah.
Is it going to be weird not being the mouthpiece for Root for Kids?
It is
going to
be so weird. It is going to be so weird. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out who I'm going to be because I'm no longer Suzanne with Root for Kids.
Yeah.
So just trying to redefine who I am and what I do. But It's a great organization, and again, I trust the board to make the right decision.
And I think that's a good problem to have, to go, now what am I going to do? And you do have some stuff in the works. I'm assuming you and John are going to travel a little bit.
We're looking forward to that.
Yeah. That'll be a lot of fun. Yeah. Well, Suzanne, we're just about out of time. Anything you wanted to throw out there before we let you go today as we wrap up the show?
Yes. Let me actually put a plug in. Perfect. April 26th. Is our annual gala. It's one of our biggest fundraisers. So we're currently looking for sponsorships and donations for like silent auction and live auction. So you can find all that information at our website, but we would love to have the community get behind us and support us and help us raise money for Root for Kids.
That'll be April 26th. A dance or a program?
It's a dinner and a program.
A dinner and a program. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we'll have a live auction and a silent auction.
Oh, very
April
cool.
April
26th. April 26th. Sounds great. Well, thank you, Suzanne, for coming on today. It's been a pleasure. Mello, appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
We're out of time. I'll be back tomorrow. Donya Jessup, the mayor of Hilldale.
I love Donya. Donya actually used to work at Root for Kids.
Really? I didn't. Well, I'll have to ask her about that.
Yes, ask her about that.
We're out of time. We'll talk to you tomorrow with Donya.